Welcome to Hey You Geeks. I'm Tony Nunes.
And I'm Rick Ribello.
And this is our 2016 wrap-up episode where we're going to talk about some of our favorite things and some of the trends in geek culture that we liked or disliked this year. So it's kind of just a year in review, if you will. And we're also going to have a little debate about what we consider to be the best superhero movie of the year, which I don't know about you, Rick, but between Deadpool and Doctor Strange, I think those are the only two in contention for the discussion, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, Civil War.
I think these other two movies trumped Civil War, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, Civil War also has kind of the feeling of Avengers 3, so I think that's one of the things that hurts it, where the other two movies are new.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I think so. I think Avengers fatigue is starting to set in pretty deep, too. Some people love Civil War. I mean, some people thought it was
I liked it a lot, yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot, too. But, all right, we'll end with that debate and see where we
end. Well, we kind of have to start the year with Deadpool, because Deadpool came out in February, if I'm not mistaken.
It did.
Deadpool come out in February. Pretty much started out the whole year for comic book and geek films.
Yeah, February, which is tends to be the dumping ground for bad movies.
Right.
You know, I wonder if they purposefully put it out in February because of the uncertainty with an R-rated superhero movie.
I think it's R-rating. I think it's Ryan Reynolds' terrible track record as well. You know, because you got to realize, this is a guy, before Deadpool, this is a guy that was in some serious bombs. You know, he has lost Hollywood a criminal amount of money.
Well, he was in the serious superhero bomb, especially.
Green Lantern and the R.I.P.D.
Oh, yes. I always forget about that movie because it's very forgettable.
Yeah. And, of course, the original turn on X-Men Origins.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not counting the other bombs he was in that were not superhero movies.
But, I mean, the movie was wildly successful.
Oh, and yeah. That, and rightfully so.
It's a great movie. And now the Logan movie, the new Wolverine movie coming out, is rated R, and word is that Hugh Jackman took a pay cut to make it so. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that kind of bodes well. I'm kind of happy that for that Deadpool effect, where we're probably going to see more R-rated movies like that, where for a long time we haven't.
I think the mistake, though, that Hollywood would make is thinking that just R-rated movies are going to do the trick. It's like, Deadpool was an exception. Deadpool was a character that had a gigantic following, you know, and never had really, other than that in X-Men Origins, which that you can't even say that was really Deadpool,
No.
Other than that, he's, you know, never had any kind of exposure. So, I mean, you remember what it was like going to Comic-Con before that movie came out, and there was armies of Deadpools, you know, walking the floors.
Yeah, I mean, he's a cult hit. Maybe that's why they were uncertain about how it would perform at the box office. But, I mean, this movie went well beyond your standard Deadpool fans. And, I mean, it was just nominated for a Golden Globe.
Oh, I don't know about that.
For Best Picture.
Really? Really?
Well, yeah, but you have to take into account that the Golden Globes, unlike the Oscars, split their Best Picture into drama and then musical and comedy. Yeah. So it's, you know, they kind of fill the musical comedy section with some iffy choices sometimes.
Right.
Because let's face it, as great and as fun as Deadpool was, you know, the storyline and the villains and all of that were a little cookie cutter.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a comic book movie. I mean, if people haven't picked up on the pattern yet with comic book movies by now, you know, it's getting... That's one of the things it's funny because every year you and I talk about, you know, are we going to eventually hit a wall? And every year we haven't, but still it's like, it's really starting to feel this year when you're going to these movies like you've seen these movies over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think that wall is certainly coming. You know, just if you look at, if you take Walking Dead as an example, I mean, that's based off of a comic book, but it's not popular because of that per se.
Yeah.
But their ratings are falling off. There's other factors around that. But I think...
Well, I called that one.
Well, we both
called it, yeah.
Called it, yeah. I just think... I feel like the same thing is definitely going to happen. You know, I also wonder how the new Spider-Man movie next year is going to do. I think it looks great. But
I do too.
You know, a lot of people are thinking, you know, this is the third time around for that franchise to be part of a reboot. And that, you know, that's asking a lot of people.
And that's a third reboot in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, it's unprecedented. There hasn't been something like that.
No.
So, it's a risk. But, but Deadpool, it's really great to have an R-rated superhero movie that works and that's edgy. I can see what you're saying. You know, Logan might be good, but they're going to try to make other movies that really don't fit that R rating. They're going to kind of edge in some stuff that really doesn't fit the characters per se.
Well, and the only other problem with Logan is that this is, what, his eighth or ninth movie as Wolverine?
Yeah, there's too many. I don't like the Bloom is off the rose.
Yeah.
I don't like any of his solo Wolverine movies. They didn't do it for me.
Yeah. No, I mean, this looks interesting, but it's just, I mean, it looks interesting, but it does also look like more of the same.
Yeah, you know? It does. It does.
You know how Hugh Jackman's going to play the role. I don't think it's going to be anything different or, you know, anything that we haven't seen already.
No, it's not. Well, do you want to go down a list of other movies? Is that how you want to do this?
Oh, we could do that. I mean, we could either, you know, I don't know if you want to go chronologically or just talk about them in general.
I mean, for movies, we can go chronologically, and then we could talk about some TV in general after that. You know, if we're starting in February, there's not a lot of great stuff that really screams out as far as geek films go. You know, there's a lot of other great movies that we're not going to talk about because it's not what we really cover on here, but, you know, like Zootopia was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that was a great film, yeah.
Sadly, this year, I've seen less movies that I wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I see a good number of films in theaters, and then if I miss them, I catch them on Blu-ray, but I've really missed a lot in theaters, and there's a lot that I wanted to catch on Blu-ray that I just, I haven't found time. You know, it's part of, you know, having a new baby, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll do it. That'll always do it.
So there's some movies on this list that I still have not seen. Movies I was very excited about. I just didn't get around to seeing. And it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I feel like overall this year for movies, for geek tentpole type movies, wasn't super strong.
Well, I mean, I think it probably didn't feel. I mean, it was set up to be super strong. You know, a year ago, you know, we were going into this year thinking, oh my God, we got Civil War, and we got Batman versus Superman, and we got Deadpool. It looked pretty massive.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, but we can jump into Batman versus Superman because that was March.
Yeah, that's the next one on the list. Yeah.
I don't think we really need to go into detail and how we feel about it, other than we both of us really dislike this movie, and we did an entire episode talking about why.
Yeah.
You know, so go back and listen to that.
But you know, the irony, you know, now that we've had a lot of time, a lot of perspective on it, you know, that movie made a lot of money. And even though people hated it, I don't think Warner Brothers cares. Because at the end of the day, that movie still made, I think it was $800 million or some insanity like that, or close to $1 billion.
Yeah, it made a lot. I mean, worldwide, but
yeah,
it's really bad. Have you rewatched it?
I tried, yeah. I rewatched it
on HBO last weekend.
Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, I dozed off a few times, but it's not a good movie. It's just, it's too
quirky. I know, but I think, like I said, the problem is, I think it made enough money that Warner Brothers is going to look at it and go, oh, it did fine.
Yeah. Well, we have Justice League coming out in 2017, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that one will make a ton of money, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
It's a shame.
So it's going to be more of the same, I think. I think Warner Brothers, they're happy with what they have, and they're just happy to stick to it.
Yeah.
So kind of sucks for us, you know, especially those of us who like DC Comics.
Yeah, you just and, you just got to kind of tap out and say it is what it is.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I mean, luckily, you know, in April we had Civil War, again proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that Marvel, they have a plan. They know what they're doing. You know, I think we did a whole episode on that movie, too.
Yes, we did,
but that, you know, that movie's a lot of fun.
No, it is. It's an absolute, it's a lot of fun. It's, I mean, of the two Versus movies, that was far and away the best Versus movie.
I thought, too, the stuff they did with Spider-Man in there is a brilliant introduction to the reboot in a huge movie that's already kind of ratcheted up a lot of interest. So I think that they kind of helped their case by doing that. You know, they're smart. They're smart business people in Marvel and Disney. They you know, the movies are good. The writing is not always great. But this is not high art. This is you know, blockbuster movie season. It's business. So, you know, I kind of wish it was a little better written, some of these movies. But it is what it is. At the end of the day, it's the bottom line. And they definitely know what they're doing.
Well, I mean, you know, they're brilliant enough, or you should say they don't have to be brilliant enough to just give the audience what they want.
Yeah.
You know, that's the mind-blowing thing about Warner Brothers, is that they carry the attitude of, we know what's best for the audience.
Yep.
You know, and sadly, people still give them money, so it perpetuates that philosophy. But, you know, they don't know what's best for the audience. It's terrible.
I mean, it's just a matter of the properties they own and how timeless and beloved those properties are. You know, Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're looking at the short term, not the long term. And what they're doing is damaging those properties. So people are going to look back at them with a little disdain and a little less, you know, they're going to be a little less iconic and muddled down because of this. But they don't care because they're making a shit ton of money now.
Yeah. And that's the goal. You know, they're making their
money. Hollywood, yep.
Their money.
Did you see X-Men Apocalypse? Because that's one I didn't...
Yep. I did see it, yes. Yeah.
Any good?
It was an X-Men movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about all I can say. I mean, it was just kind of standard.
Yep.
I didn't think it was any better than anything else. I didn't think it was particularly worse than anything else. It was just kind of there. Oscar Isaac looked really goofy. That's Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, like I said, the X-Men movies especially now all kind of feel like the same movie to me. Like, I can no longer differentiate the movies anymore. And now with the confusing timelines and everything else, it just feels like nonsense. I don't know.
Which is why I haven't seen it. I'll eventually catch it. But I don't have a desire to seek it out.
The whole thing, once again, is you got Bryan Singer, who, you know, for some reason doesn't want superheroes to look like superheroes.
Yeah.
You know, they got to look like they're in some sort of, you know, S&M bondage outfit stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of just having them look the way they look. Which no one seems to have a problem with the Marvel characters looking the way they look, but...
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
You know, the same with Warner Brothers. They kind of... The way they change the texture. I mean, Batman looked good, but Superman's costume is, you know, the dark tones in that.
Yeah. It's just, well, they're embarrassed of Superman. They hate that character. They hate him. Ugh. You know? It's a character that's always worked for everybody else, but for some reason these guys have this, you know... The one thing I'll say about Richard Donner, you know, when he did Superman in the 70s, is he had a real affection for the character. And it really showed through in the movie. And Zack Snyder has a real contempt for the character, and it really shows through in the movie.
And also, Warner Brothers is really stuck to the success of the Dark Knight series.
Right.
And in their mind, that's what works best for a superhero movie. So they're missing the point that the characters are different and live in different, you know, they have different lifestyles.
Right.
You know, we've never had the nerdy Clark Kent. They hinted at it at the end of Man of Steel, but it never came to fruition in Batman versus Superman. So,
no.
You know, and just the fact that they didn't give Superman another movie that's all his own, it just shows that he's secondary to them. Batman is the real money maker. But it's all, I guarantee it's all because of the Dark Knight series. They're just trying to emulate that success.
Right. I mean, it was successful, but it wasn't that successful that, you know, you,
well, you don't the, change the your Dark mind. Knight was the highest grossing movie, and I mean, it broke record, like big right. records, not right. of all time, but I think
it's, but that also had a bunch of exceptional things. I mean,
it had Chris Nolan.
Had Christopher Nolan. I mean, it had people knew about the death of obviously of
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, you know, there was a lot of things going on with that movie. They're bringing back the Joker. You know, there's a lot. Like I said, I think people are looking at things from too wide a view, and they're not really sitting there and looking deeply and going, okay, what was really behind what made this successful? What were the factors that made this successful? You know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like you go back to the Deadpool thing. There's factors that make Deadpool successful. It's not just because it's an R-rated, you know, comic book film. And the same thing with The Dark Knight. Dark Knight had a lot of things going for it. You know, it was a second movie. It had the Joker. It had this story about this guy who died, you know, losing his mind making the movie. There was a lot of stuff going on there that was above and beyond. So you can't, you know, they're foolish to think, oh, it's only because it was dark.
Well, it was also nuanced, and it wasn't overstuffed. And, you know, clearly that's they missed those two points.
Right.
In Superman versus Batman.
Right. I mean, you know, Two-Face is in it, but he's not really in it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's not they let Batman just kind of focus on one villain, you know, and which is what they should do. I'll never figure out why, you know, these superhero movies have to have four and five villains in them. It's a mess.
Or four or five superheroes now.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's too much. A mess.
So let's go into the summer now. We have the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which I will say I want to see. I do want to see it, just because it kind of looked more like the classic Ninja Turtles that I grew up with, and I hear it's decent. Have you seen it? Did you see it? I'm sure you did. Your son loves Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I saw it. It was fun. It was okay. Yeah. You know, I mean, for a Michael Bay movie, it was all right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like I said, once again, kind of like with the X-Men movie, it's nothing to write home about, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't horrible.
No.
I didn't want to, I wasn't completely thrown off by it. It was okay.
You know, looking at this summer list, there are so many movies that I was excited to see or you know, I really should have seen that I didn't. And the next one that screams out to me is Warcraft.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know, we talked to Duncan Jones.
We did. We went to a little
press junket for Warcraft.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I didn't make it to, well, I mean, that came out like a week after my son was born, so it was just bad timing, but I still haven't seen it.
No, I think the problem with Warcraft, and God bless Duncan, I know he did it the best job he could. And that movie also, at the end of the day, made $1 billion because it blew up China. But the CGI it's CGI. It's
very easy. Yeah.
They're not fooling anybody. God bless them. I know they tried, but
you know, the whole China thing. Mm-hmm. Vox Media, not Fox, but Vox, VOX.
Yeah.
They have a great YouTube channel, and they put out these really fascinating, like, short news type videos, and they did a whole segment on the Chinese film market and how U.S. distributors really want to push for that market, but they only allow like 24 films a year into the market. So it's a really fascinating look at how people are kind of throwing away creativity and actual like filmmaking just to pander to the Chinese markets.
Right.
Michael Bay is notorious for it.
No, it's true. I mean, you could see it. You know, and I know that the Warner Brothers CEO said that the other day, there was that leaked information about the Batman movie, and I guess the CEO said, "Who cares if it has a terrible script? It's going to make $1 billion in China anyway."
Yeah, which sucks for all of us who are who are not blind to to good things.
I mean, just the fact that they're saying, who cares if it has a bad script? It's like, well, thanks. We care.
Well, Martin Scorsese said something this week. I forget where it was, but I read it, something, I'm paraphrasing, but something along the lines of, he doesn't watch movies that are made today because they're not making it to be visual and interesting. They're putting it out there. They're putting it out there for the sake of putting it out there. And that, I mean, that it's a good summary of kind of where we stand. And a lot of these movies that we're talking about and that we often talk about in this show are those movies,
No, I agree 100%. They're just, they're turning out a product. They're making widgets.
Yeah.
One company makes really good widgets. One company makes, mediocre, less than mediocre widgets.
And then one company makes Independence Day Resurgence, which I haven't seen that, but I probably won't see it. One film genre that consistently, I mean, not all of the films in the genre, but Disney especially is really good at doing animated films. Original stories seem to thrive in a lot of Disney animated films, like Zootopia, which tackles some really serious subjects for a kid's movie, about racial profiling and things like that. And it's a fantastic, fun movie. My kids love it. And then you have Finding Dory, which, yes, it's a sequel, but it's another fantastic, fun, really heartfelt, thoughtful story. So, I mean, I'm thankful. And then, not to jump forward, but we just saw Moana, which came out a couple of weeks ago, and that's another absolutely fantastic animated film. Oh. So I think I look at those and I kind of breathe a sigh of relief, because at least there's something being put out for the kids that kind of shows them some good storytelling and film is art sometimes, and at least that's not dying.
I also saw the BFG and Jon Favreau's Jungle Book, and they were both also really good.
Jungle Book was good. I wasn't as hot on Jungle Book as some people are. The CGI just, it took me out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but to feel like I was watching an Air Bud or Beverly Hills Chihuahua movie with wild animals,
Well, did you see the BFG?
That's another one. And I'm the biggest Steven Spielberg fan, but I didn't. I need to go out and buy that one, because I know I'm going to love it. Steven Spielberg's my favorite director of all time. When he directs movies with kids, that's when he's at his best.
Right.
And the BFG is one of my favorite books and my kids' favorite books.
Yep.
So we gotta get on it.
It's a really good family night movie. It's a very, very good family night movie. So
yeah, see, I kind of missed the whole summer movie, because I mean that's when we had a newborn and I was out of work and everything. So like, as hot as I was to see Ghostbusters, never saw it in the theaters. Star Trek Beyond, which I heard was great.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, still haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I enjoyed Star Trek Beyond because it was a meat and potatoes Star Trek story.
That's what I hear. Yeah, they don't throw too much, too much in there as far as hearkening back to classic moments in Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of movies fail. They try to capitalize on nostalgia too much, and it's easy to see right through that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Pete's Dragon?
Yes, I did.
It's another one. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I did. I liked it. It was all right. It wasn't as good as the other stuff I saw this year. I didn't enjoy it as much.
I'm not super stoked for Disney's live action remakes.
Yeah.
I liked Maleficent,
because I don't know why those things exist. Well, I just
have you seen the Beauty and the Beast trailer?
Yeah,
it looks
yeah,
like a shot-for-shot remake.
Remake, yeah.
And Beauty and the Beast is one of the best animated films ever.
Right.
Why? I just don't understand why.
You know what I think, Tony? It's kind of like, I've been having this problem with my students where a lot of my students, keep in mind they're 19 years old, you know, 17, 18, 19, like the prequels. And I think it's going to happen with these movies where these kids are going to grow up on these live action Disney. This is going to be their version of these stories. So they're not going to be able to differentiate it.
You know, a great example of that, I was watching Goldbergs before we recorded on ABC, which, I mean, that show was like my childhood every episode. But tonight, they saw Howard the Duck.
Yeah. And
at first, they were like, this is a terrible movie. But then they're talking about how it's classic, and like every kid who saw it at the right age, you know, as bad as it is, you have like a fondness for that movie. So I think, you know, that age is such a fragile age that you like really grasp onto your nostalgia there and hold on to it. Like even today, I have a fondness for that movie, and it's terrible.
Well, for me, it's all Leah Thompson in her underwear, but that's another story.
About to sleep with a duck.
Yeah, but, you know, someone was saying that the other day that, you know, when you're a kid, like, all movies are good.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a kid, you know, you watch every movie is just, it's a movie. Like, you haven't even learned to, you know, sit there and go, oh, you know, I don't like that, or I don't like the acting or the directing. It's like, you go see these big productions, and they're just a big production.
Yeah.
And you just don't see the faults of them, you know?
No, you don't. It's a big deal. And you know, we talk bad about Batman versus Superman and all of those. And, you know, there are people of... Well, actually, that's a bad example because that was super dark. I wouldn't take an 8-year-old to it.
I was going
to
say that's a bad example because I don't think little kids are going to watch that movie.
No. But there's other movies. I can't think of any right off the top of my head. But there's other movies that we probably have, you know, crapped on that, you know, kids would probably love.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Suicide Squad. That movie was fun. It had major third act problems, but it was a fun movie.
Not a kid's movie. It had character and writing problems all over the place, you know. I actually pulled out a lot of scenes to show my screenwriting class. I pulled out the scene where Batman encounters, you know, Deadshot. And I said, it's the most confusing scene in the movie, because the hero is acting like a villain and the villain is acting like a hero, and as the audience you don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. Well, they had a problem with that entire movie like that where they're trying to create Justice League with villains. Yeah. But they're trying to build a cinematic universe where it actually makes it more confusing in my mind, because you're watching this and trying to think how this all fits into the other movies, which are supposed to be on the same timeline. Mm-hmm. Marvel, you can do that. You can watch the movies and you see where it fits in.
Yeah.
Because it's seamless.
Well, they did that beautifully with Doctor Strange, where you got watching the movie, you kind of understood what was going on everywhere else.
Yeah. Well, I think... Yeah, and in Doctor Strange, I mean, that movie, for me... I guess we can, since we're kind of at the end of the year now, and I can't think of any other huge movies that are good to talk about. I mean, obviously, Star Wars Rogue One is out this weekend, so, you know, we haven't seen that yet. You really like Fantastic Beasts, right?
Oh, yeah, I really did. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I didn't see that. And another movie I'm dying to see because I hear it's amazing is Arrival.
Yeah, I don't
know good but I have, you know, it's really a shame. There's so many movies I want to see.
I enjoyed Fantastic Beasts because Fantastic Beasts allowed us to jump into the adult world of Harry Potter.
Yeah,
you know, we got to see how the grown-ups were playing the game.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that. And the thing I liked about it is that it wasn't an origin story. They just jumped right into the story with that character. And you had to kind of learn about the character as you went along. And that was really great. And I thought that Eddie Redmayne and Colin Farrell were wonderful. It's always funny at the end when Colin Farrell changes into Johnny Depp. I was kind of like, ah.
Yeah. Well, Johnny Depp is going to star in the next one, right?
Right, right. Because he's going to be the Voldemort of this series. Yeah. So.
What a shame. Yeah. So, well, let's go back to Doctor Strange. Because in my mind, Doctor Strange is the best cast of any Marvel movie.
Oh, yeah.
That I've seen. I mean, just the level, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch obviously is amazing. That's Ejiofor.
Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen, it's awesome.
That's an all-star cast anywhere.
It is.
That's as good as you're going to get in any movie of any style or type.
Tilda Swinton was the best, in my opinion. Yeah. I'm a huge Tilda Swinton fan.
Yeah. So, that's true.
So at the end of the day, see, I thought Doctor Strange was so much better than I even thought it would be. And I know there's origin story built in there. Yeah. But the origin story, because maybe it's because I'm not as familiar with the character as you are or other people are, but I was immersed in the origin story more than I am normally with an origin story. And I think, for me, I think it's because the level of acting was that much better. And, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch as Hugo Strange, what he was going through, the personal struggles, you really feel it because it's so well acted. But for me, I don't know. I thought the backstory in this one was the most immersive backstory I've encountered.
All right. And it still probably could have been dragged out a little bit more because there's a lot going on there. And, you know, they kind of had to rush things along a bit.
Yeah.
My only thing was it's kind of... I love the movie. I love the movie a lot. I wish they had picked someone other than Cassilius, as even though I like Mads Mikkelsen, I wish they'd give him another character to do. Because if they were going to do Dormammu, they should have just let us know about Dormammu up front, because that's the biggest villain that Doctor Strange has. That's the ultimate villain, you know. So I that was a little interesting how they tried to, you know, kind of do a bait and switch there.
That tends to be a problem with Marvel. You know, with Guardians of the Galaxy 2, with Ronan the Accuser.
Yeah.
They have weak villains, where they have really good villains, really strong villains in the Marvel Universe. I don't know why they're afraid to use them openly.
Yeah, they're holding them back for some reason.
Yeah, but...
I mean, in the end, he did still fight Dormammu at the end.
And it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a brilliant concept. Yeah.
That screenplay, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really strong screenplay.
Yeah, yeah.
You
could kind of tell when Hartman came in to Dan Harmon. You could kind of tell the stuff that Harmon kind of threw into the story.
Yeah.
So, a little bit, little jokes here and there, and so, you know, you kind of feel a little more. But,
So when it comes down to it, Deadpool versus Doctor Strange, what do you prefer? What would you say is the best superhero movie of the year?
That's still hard. That's still pretty hard. They're really good.
Doctor Strange takes the edge for me.
Yeah, they're both really good. I'd say Doctor Strange like 1A and Deadpool 1B.
Yeah.
I don't even think I would go 1 and 2. I'd go like 1A and 1B. Because they were just really good. And, you know, I enjoyed... I think the weakness for Deadpool is the cast is certainly nowhere near as good as the cast of Doctor Strange. You don't have the depth in the backstory like you do with Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange has a lot more going for it. Then again, also you got to remember, Doctor Strange cost a hell of a lot more money. Oh, Deadpool was a cheap movie.
Yeah, it was a movie they tried to make for a long time, and you know, corners were cut with salaries for certain people.
Yeah,
paid off. Golden Globe nomination.
Yeah,
I think Ryan Reynolds was nominated for Best Actor for that too. Best Actor in a comedy or musical, though.
We'll see. Well, I mean, hey, he got the job done.
Those are huge bragging rights just to be nominated for that. So,
you know, at the end of the day, he got the job done. You know, he got the movie done. He was good in it. He was that character. The movie made money. Everything paid off. So
he promoted the hell out of it too. Yeah. You know, in a really strong way.
He kind of had to, though, because like I said, he had had a lot of bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm glad it worked out for him, but he really did have to go all in.
But it made me really like him. You know, like, I watched a lot of interviews with him, and his sense of humor isn't that far off from the characters.
Right.
So, I kind of like that.
Yeah. Which, to this day, I can't figure out why on earth they made him Green Lantern. Because if there's one thing about Green Lantern, Green Lantern's a dead serious character.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't blame him for being himself.
Well, the inside jokes, you know, about Green Lantern in Deadpool, you know, all of those inside jokes and like the kind of living in the world that you're referencing.
Yeah,
that stuff was brilliant because, you know, it's a property known for breaking the third wall.
Right.
Or They just do some crazy stuff.
No, I agree.
It's an interesting screenplay for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about TV before we end. And just talk about some of our favorite shows. So looking at this list of movies that we just did, it still seems like a pretty weak year for me. Compared to next year. Next year we have the next Star Wars installment. We have a new Guardians of the Galaxy. We have a new Spider-Man. I don't care about Justice League. Wonder Woman, that's a big test. But we also have movies like Blade Runner, the new Blade Runner, which has a lot of promise. So I think next year is looking a lot stronger than this year as far as interesting geek films.
Well, it remains to be seen. I mean, if we end up with a lot of disappointments like we did this year.
Yeah.
Because I think if you go back a year ago, our expectations of this year were much greater than what we just talked about.
They were, yeah. You know, if we go back to our like year preview. Year preview of things we're most looking forward to. You know, a lot of things like Batman versus Superman, we were pretty stoked about that. And it was
even the X-Men movie and a lot of these other movies, you know, we had much higher hopes, you know, for what came out. And I still think Rogue One, I'm going to probably go tomorrow night, is going to be great.
It's going to be.
All the reviews I've read so far have been stellar, and everything sounds like, you know, as good as it's going to be. So I'm really psyched about that. I'm kind of hoping that's going to be the best one I see all year, but remains to be seen.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we don't. I'm just gonna say we don't know. We don't. There's a lot of stuff coming out next year, and some of it looks really good. We don't know.
But then you have the new Transformers movie and new Pirates of the Caribbean movie, and you know,
well,
things
the thing about,
you know, are gonna be terrible.
Well, the thing about that stuff now, at the end of the day, now you can just ignore it. You know, I'll say one thing about the movie business now is that we have so much media and so much stuff is that when crap like that comes out, you can just ignore it. It's going to go away because now movies only last 2 or 3 weeks now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like the old days where they would beat you to death the entire summer about a movie. You know, now that movie comes out, it makes money or doesn't make money, and then it disappears.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like Pirates will come out. It might make a ton of money. In 3 weeks, you'll forget that it was out. You know,
well, within a year, people will be talking about that movie and blending it with the other movies because they're forgettable. There's too many of them.
Yeah, they're indecipherable. It just all feels about the same thing.
Next month, we should do an episode where we kind of, you know, do our preview episode and go through some of these titles coming out because I'm looking at them right now and I think it'll make for a fun conversation and some fun predictions, you know?
But going back to TV, you know, it was a good year. Another good year for TV.
I thought it was a great year. I think it's further proof that we're living in the golden age of television. And, and you know what? As we talk about geek shows primarily, I think it was a really stellar year for geek TV because
Absolutely.
I mean, at the top of the list, you have Stranger Things, Preacher, mm-hmm. Westworld. Did you watch Preacher?
No, I haven't. I got to catch up with
you
that.
You got to catch up with that. That ended up... that you know, it kind of edges out Westworld for me. I think I like Preacher a little more because Westworld... It got a little messy at the end. It's still fantastic.
Yeah, you know, Westworld... I started to think that, you know, it's one of those shows you don't want to say, eh, it's a little pretentious.
Yeah,
people will just jump on it.
It's exposition heavy.
Oh and my god!
The finale was wicked exposition heavy. But it's still, I love that show and I think it's a great show.
Yeah.
But I think Preacher was a little better, and Stranger Things. I really enjoyed Stranger.
Oh, I loved Stranger Things. Yeah.
Because it's complete.
Westworld, you know, it just there's so much sermonizing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so much like, oh, well, this means this, and this your life, and what are you, and this is a god, Jesus.
The most interesting stuff on Westworld, in my opinion, was the Tandy Newton stuff, where she was trying to break out. You know, I just wanted to follow her. I was like, enough with Evan Rachel Wood and all of them. I just wanted to follow Tandy Newton through the whole show.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but I don't know. Stranger Things, out of those three shows, yeah, fantastic.
And let's not forget Game of Thrones had an amazing season.
Incredible season.
You know, absolutely, you know, 5-star season. Daredevil had Punisher. I mean, that was an amazing, amazing series with bringing in the Punisher. Luke Cage, you know, a lot of credible stuff.
Walking Dead is terrible.
Oh, well.
Walking Dead is having a drastic dip in ratings, which, you know, I'm kind of happy about because maybe they'll get the clue that they need better writing.
Well, Tony, when everyone told you and I 8 weeks ago that we were crazy.
Yeah.
And that, you know, oh, yeah, now you're really going to see a big... And we're like, they just completely blew their load. They jumped the shark, and everybody's like, oh no. And I said, watch in 3 episodes, no one's gonna care anymore.
Yeah,
and nobody cares anymore because what are you gonna do? Where are you gonna go?
It's so boring. Yeah.
Yeah. So where are you gonna go? There's nothing you can do. You know, where do you go from here? And it's not exactly like they left it off at a super exciting spot for the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So they're not really going into the second half of this season particularly strong either. So
no. I'll tell you what, my favorite show of the year is The Leftovers on HBO, which a lot of people do not watch. But it's a show that's, I guess it's about the rapture without knowing for sure it's about the rapture. It's about the people left on Earth after it happens. Yep. Yep. First season last year was really good, but they kind of did a whole reimagining, or like, you know, they moved the characters and added a ton of new characters this season. And I'm honest to God, this season, this year, in January, was my favorite season of any show I've ever seen. Because it goes to strange places, I found it might even be my favorite thing that I've seen all year, you know, that season as a whole. That's how much I loved it. And the best part is that show will have its third and final season starting in January or February.
Yeah.
So they have an end in sight, which to me, that's the problem with a lot of these shows. They get so bloated because they try to prolong them. So when a show has an end and it's not, you know, it doesn't overstay its welcome, then you're in for a real treat. And this that show for me was incredible. It has elements of everything. It has sci-fi, drama, everything, but it's a really cool show.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out.
You should.
And you know, I'm looking forward to get back on animated films. I'm looking forward to Rick and Morty season 3.
Oh my god.
Talk about sci-fi. And I know
Rick and Morty is brilliant. I mean, it's brilliant.
Dan Hartman says they wrote it and it's being drawn, so it's on its way. So,
and you know, another Another great Dan Harmon production this year was Harmon Quest, the animated series.
Oh, my God. I love that. I think I've watched that thing three or four times
now. So have we. Me and my wife, we die laughing because that show single-handedly makes us feel like, all right, you know, our ridiculous RPG style is not all that ridiculous because that's exactly how we play. You know, just kind of all over the place. You know, if I was playing with a really serious DM, he would probably flip the table and get pretty pissed at us because that's the best way to play. You know, let hilarity ensue. Just be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that show celebrates it.
I hope they bring that back. I mean, it feels like a one-off, but I hope it's not a one-off.
No, I mean, I listen to Harmontown's podcast.
Yeah.
And they have a ton. I mean, they play games after every episode. So I think they have a ton already in the can. You know, the animation part is the timely part, but I think...
But that animation makes that show. It really does. It makes that show so fun.
It does.
Because there's so many D&D and RPG shows on YouTube. I mean, the best being Acquisitions Incorporated. But even Acquisitions Incorporated is doing a lot of animation. But there's so many of them that are just so dry. And adding that sort of extra level to it made it so much more fun.
It did. It did.
So much more interesting.
Yeah, because it adds extra layers to the comedy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan Harmon is a freaking genius.
I think my favorite episode was still the one with Thomas Middlestitch.
Oh, God. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you know, he's clearly a gamer.
Oh, yeah. He insisted on bringing his own dice.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite shows of this year, too. It's a fun show.
Came out of nowhere. I mean, it's on CISO.
Yeah.
You know, what is CISO? CISO is this obscure, you know, channel that you sign up for $4 a month. So I signed up just to watch all of Harmontown.
Yeah. It's great. It's a really great show. Yeah. But, I mean, as far as TV goes, you know, there's other shows I watch, like Narcos and all kinds of stuff. But as far as geek TV goes, to me, all of those shows... I mean, that's a strong list of shows that we just went through.
Yeah.
And you're right. We can't forget Game of Thrones because that show was incredible this year.
Well, I mean, you had the Battle of the Bastards this year, which was just amazing, you know.
That one shot of Jon Snow emerging from that pile of bodies.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's beautifully done. It's cinematic.
Yeah.
It's cinematic at a time where, like, we're not getting that level of cinematic scope in the movies.
It was also amazing to see Jon Snow go full Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah. I think I actually yelled Leroy Jenkins during that scene.
Yeah. It's hard not to think of Leroy Jenkins when you see Jon Snow take it off like that.
Oh, so good. But yeah, I mean, HBO and Netflix continue to be
they're killing it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you got to check out Preacher. So good.
Yeah, I do. You know, the toughest thing, when I was at Comic-Con this year, I was walking around, I was like, it's just so overwhelming. There's just...
too much,
A lot of people like to say, oh, everything sucks now. It's like, no, there's too many good things now.
Well,
there's too much stuff to read.
Well, that's why we're not talking about comics. That's why we're not talking about comics.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can't keep up, so...
Well, it's like even, you know, I've been back to reading. I have an interview coming up with R.A. Salvatore. I got an interview coming up with Kevin J. Anderson. You know, I talked to Kevin Anderson about Dune at Comic-Con, and hopefully we're going to be talking to Salvatore about D&D. You know, it's just another aspect of this that we haven't even really had a chance to look at, you know?
Yeah. There's too much.
So much.
It's an assault on the senses.
So much, yeah. You know, it used to be that anything geek culture was such a treat.
It was a treat because it was a niche market.
Yeah.
Now it's not. It's the market, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when we started this podcast some years ago, we talked a lot about comics. I think our first episode... you know, a great deal of it, we were talking about comics and interviewing comic writers, and it just, you know, we covered this on episodes in the past, but our pull lists got so big and expensive that it kind of turns you off from comics. Now the only way I read them is like Marvel Unlimited. You know, I'm 6 months behind in anything. So for us to talk about comics anymore on the show, we're not on the news, you know, we're behind the times as far as new things. So, you know, that's why we talk about movies and TV more than anything else.
Well, you know, and a lot of people I know who love comics have espoused a lot of the same problems that we've felt, that there's so many stories, so many storylines, so many books,
crossovers,
so much money has to go into it that it's exhausting.
Yep, too much.
You know, definitely it's just, you know, the whole scene is exhausted. Like I said, you think we're starting to feel a bit of fatigue because it's so much work to keep up with. I mean, we don't even talk about video games. You know, I got sent 2 games to review this past week, you know, and just trying to find time to play them.
Well, there's too many options, and, you know, we have different consoles, so the overlap, well, we used to have different consoles, but, yeah, it's hard to cover that stuff. It's hard to cover that stuff because, not only because there's so much of it, but the material is so dense, you know, video games, and, you know, you have to spend so much time before you playing it, before you can talk about it.
Right.
And I mean, we're geek dads, so, you know, our first job is being dads, and that takes up a lot of time.
Nowadays, the average really good AAA video game, you got to sink 24 to 50 hours into it.
Yep.
To be able to really talk about it.
You do. And that's big time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You know, when you're waiting for your kids to go to sleep so you could put in, you know, a couple of hours, you know, and then you're up to 1 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
those times are rare.
Yep.
They become more rare as time goes on too.
Yeah, they do.
But you know, what are you going to do? It's geek culture, and it's, you know, at least we still have options out there, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, the problem is that there's nothing good. The problem is there's too many good things.
And it's hard to know what you should watch and what's a waste of your time. So,
yeah.
Well, I mean, it was a really great year for TV.
Mm-hmm.
Not so great. I mean, it was an okay year for movies.
Yeah. I'll say one thing. They tried.
They did try. Well, some studios tried.
Yeah. Some studios tried. I mean, they spent a lot of money and put a lot of work into these movies, you know. That may not be what we wanted, but they tried.
Yeah. Well, you know, 2016 in general has been a really bad year. So, you know, it just makes sense that our movies were bad too, because you know, so many amazing people died, and you know, other things that we don't talk about in this show. Well, but you know, it's just it makes sense. So our next episode in January, we need to optimistically talk about 2017 and focusing on the movies more than anything else, look at, you know, get our hopes back up.
Yeah.
And keep our fingers crossed that they don't get deflated like they did this year.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Exactly. We'll start anew.
Yeah.
So, I think this is a good place to end. We're definitely going... We've been really vacant on our Datawan podcast. But, you know, again, part of that is because I haven't been able to keep up with all the Star Wars books, and I'm still behind on Rebels. You know, I'm sure you're the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But we are definitely going to review Rogue One next week.
Oh, without a doubt.
Keep an eye out, because there will be a new Datawan episode.
I will 24 hours from now exactly, I will be watching the movie.
Yeah, I'm seeing it Friday night, so maybe Saturday or Sunday we can record. And then, so look for that, because we're definitely going to review Rogue One on our other podcast, Datawan, on the Geek Dad Podcast Network. And then stay tuned in the new year, because we'll be back with another new episode, a more optimistic episode, looking at what to expect in 2017 in geek culture. So until then, I say happy holidays to everybody. Happy Life Day. So I'm Tony Nunes.
And I'm Rick Rebello.
And this is Hey You Geeks.
This podcast has been a production of the Geek Dad Podcast Network. If you've enjoyed this content, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/geekdad.